I'm going to talk about our daily work now in terms of the parochial schools. See, the parochial school that begins to be used as a mission outpost is already denigrating what school is about. School is an invention of society to pass on what is valuable to know for living in that society. The evangelization, the preaching of the gospel to the world is not the job of the school, it's the job of the church. The school is to exist there because it's the best work we can do with our hands and minds, and we have some magnificent teachers, and we have some excellent scholars. It is there for us to give a gift to the city, a gift of righteousness, civic righteousness, to give boys and girls to the city who can talk, think, work, and who work not so what they can get. Let him that works work with his hands, let the thief steal no more. Rather, let him labor working with his hands the thing that is good, so that he may have something to give to him who's in need. That's how we learn to think. And the unity of the church is when she thinks like God thinks about our daily work. We can also speak of speaking the truth in love as giving grace to the people who listen to us. That's one I need to hear all day long. That what we say is gracious. It bestows joy, knowledge, understanding, appropriate rebuke, correction, and support to the people who are listening to us. But now I must quickly come to an end. I've already broken a promise. I don't think we're going to have enough time for many questions. I want to concentrate on one element on the unity of the congregation that I think is probably the most significant. And I'm going to do it by going from Jerusalem. I'm going from Jerusalem to Jerusalem by way of Jericho. In 1964, when the Dirty Speech Movement began in Berkeley, the attack was made by the children who had been made into gods and by the parents who had been their worshipers. The post-war children were divinized. And by God, my kids are not going to have the trouble I had during the Depression. I'm going to see to it they've got more. And they got more. By 1964, the gods vomited out their devotees. They turned on the parents, on the adults. The attack on the language is the attack, primary attack, on the unity of the church. We, of all people, ought to be the most concerned about words. Pastors don't have anything else but words. A little bread, wine, water, words. That's all we've got. And the church doesn't have any more. That's all she has. And God thinks that's plenty. But with the attack on speech, you attack the human being. Finally, the human being loses his ability to describe anything. How he hurts, how he loves, how he feels. He grunts and feels. That's all he can do. Amen. And you have killed the community. Because a community is that which has in common one thing. And what we have in common in the normal human community is speech. What we have in common in Holy Church is the Holy Gospel and the confession of that Gospel in liturgy, confession, preaching, teaching, and living. That's what we have in common. It is so remarkable to me that during this time, all the new hymns and all the new liturgies were produced when the language was at its most impotent, its wimpiest, its stalest, its most corrupt, its most cheap, its most trivial form. That's when we were writing new liturgies. And one of the advantages of the new liturgies is they won't last long. They'll bore you to death. You can't stay with any one of them very long. If you want to die soon, just stay with one of them. That's all you need. Now, my point is this. Two points. What I want to talk about now as the most unifying thing in the history of Lutheranism is the small catechism. In the individual life, in the individual family, the individual congregation, and in the confessions of the church. This is someday in the 22nd, 3rd, and 4th century, much of the Christianity in Africa will have been shaped by the small catechism because people have found it the best little book to teach. We have debunked it. We've turned it into a textbook and written long explanations of it, especially Kaler's annotated catechism. And we've tried to teach a little dogmatics to 12-year-olds who were bored with everything about it. And the catechism never got to them. We never got to the catechism. The catechism is an exposition of how you study scripture and how you pray and how you live the Christian life. What does this mean, Daddy? What does it mean? Well, this is what it means. Now, that's what you do. Small catechism is a prayer book. The small catechism is a prayer book that does the three things. It forms the prayers. It says the day, morning, and evening. The commandments, the creed, the Our Father. The morning and the evening prayer and the table prayer. A kind of a little breviary. It's a prayer book, an operator's manual for the life of the congregation, the life of the family, the life of the individual. That's the one thing it does. It forms the evangelical life in connection, in conformity with the evangelical doctrine. The second thing it does is it helps us learn meaning. What does it mean? By the time my catechumens are through, I want them to be able to go to a Bible text, read the text, and say, well, I think it means this, or I think it means that. Well, my opinion is as good as yours. Just because you're a pastor, your opinion is no better than mine. All of this hunch interpretation that we use, this kind of jerk, and now we know what it's about. Baloney! The interpretation of Scripture is a discipline that is learned. The spirit of the inspiration of Scripture is the spirit in our baptism that is given to us. So it teaches us how to examine meaning. 27 times, I think it is, we're taught to ask, what does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? And we are driven back to Scripture to talk about the answer. The third thing it does, it gives us a vocabulary. We have lost our vocabulary. The vocabulary of pastoral theology has become the vocabulary of social science, social workers, and counseling. It has nothing to do with life. It has to do only with typologies, and it has nothing to do with the church. This is the Trojan horse in the center of the city. It has its belly full of people who are very interested in the city, but what they want with the city is not what the citizens of the city want. They will take over the city. The structure of the vocabulary is partially what makes liturgy boring. There's no vocabulary. Liturgy doesn't talk like we talk. And I say, you're right. That's why we need the liturgy, so that you can learn to talk the right way. You've got to learn to talk right. You don't just know that naturally. So that this business of the unity in the congregation, I find this to be such a remarkable thing. Unity in the congregation, I think, has its way when the congregation is praying the small catechism. Now, I want to close too quickly now with saying, therefore, I think that the life of the congregation in this connection ought to see to it that there is a unity between the church, the pastor, and the school, and the family. God did not give to the school or to the pastor the primary task of teaching the young. He gave that to the parents. The school and the pastor are there to serve and train the parents. When that is a unified activity, what they're praying, what is being preached, what is being sung, what is being taught has its center. The unity of the congregation, or striving to maintain the unity of the congregation, is always strengthened, opposed to those disintegrating forces. Thank you very much. You've been very attentive.